Now, Simon, a bit of biology actually for you. This is from Alex, who says,
why does everything seem to both give and cure cancer?
So on the one hand, we're being told that causes cancer. On the other hand, you're being told, oh, the same thing cures cancer half the time. So why do we get these mixed messages in the media?
Well, there are actually very few studies which have shown strong causal links between these factors and cancer. A lot of them are associations. And one of the main problems with a disease like cancer, when you're trying to study its effect, when sort of various aspects on the outcomes of cancer, is that cancer is really an older age disease. I generalise there, not all cancers, but in broad strokes. So if we're looking at people now in their 30s and we say, what do you do? We won't really know whether that has an effect until those people are in their 60s. So that would be a causal study. Unfortunately, that takes 30 years. And in terms of public health, we kind of need an answer yesterday. So we do a lot more association studies. And that's where some of these competing, contrasting results come from. There's also a lot of issue with especially diet studies about how we interpret and record diet. So diets have intrinsically changed over the last 50 years. Foods that we have available now in the UK weren't around 30 years ago. So can we really say that the impact of various lifestyle factors will cause cancer? Probably not.
When people turn around and say the Mediterranean diet, which is dominated by olive oil, a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables, a little bit of red wine every day, that sort of lifestyle and diet combination, that will improve your mortality. Actually, that's in the context of people who came through a very different life experience, lived a long while ago, really.
And
lived in a different geography.
Yes.
And we've now got people who are a different age group eating a different diet really en masse and with a different upbringing, and therefore it may not be relevant.
And this is one of the issues in statistics, is generalising results. So we can't do the study we want to do. It's not ethical and it would cost too much money. So we have to work with the information and data we can get, and then we have to work out how much that can generalise. And this is really one of the great questions of statistics, is from the study we have and the people we have, what can we say, what can't we say? I'm always, statisticians, I kind of call us the buzzkills of science, because we're usually the ones in the corner going, is that really true?
But something like the study done by Richard Doll, who's died now, but he famously did the smoking doctors study, and that was a very well-powered study, had a very big group of people that were followed for 50 years and did categorically show that there was a very big excess of chest disease and cancers in the individuals who smoked compared with the people who didn't smoke.
Yeah, and that's the sort of the long-term study. It was still an association because he didn't force certain people to smoke or not smoke.
He wouldn't have been allowed to do that, though,
and that is one of the that is one of the ethical requirements. So to really be true whether something causes cancer or not, we have to get a group of people, give it to them, and then another group of people who don't have it, and then follow them for 30 years.
Peter.
I think this is a really good example with smoking, where you have a very binary thing, right? And it's obviously very bad for you, but it still takes this huge, great, long 50-year study to work out that smoking is bad for you. And really, this is where, in some sense, you can make the case that statistics and these types of studies actually fail public health and public good, because they're not going to determine all of the things in the world that are dangerous for us. Because things that where you have a very broad exposure to something, which is not binary and easily definable, like whether you smoke or not, that actually wouldn't it be fair to say that there could be a vast number of things that we're being exposed to every day which are dangerous to us, that we're not actually being properly, we need a different framework for working out those things rather than these frameworks which actually they can't pick those signals out from statistical background.
Well, I mean, just to defend statistics from some comments you made there, statistics is about understanding what the data can tell you. And I don't think anyone would say that the statistics are wrong. They're a tool.
One person said it to me the other day, that there is reality and you can't call reality wrong when it doesn't agree with what you think is going on.
Yes, I mean, statistics is it's a way of quantifying evidence. And this is where an abuse of statistics occurs, when people run these studies and say, I don't know, drinking coffee increases your life expectancy.
I was really buoyed up when I saw that study. I thought, brilliant, and I should live forever the way I'm going.
But the problem is they've reduced it down to a single aspect, coffee. And we all know that that's not reality. So the statistics has picked out from all of the various parts of the diet and all the various lifestyle factors that coffee has this effect, but in combination with a whole host of other things. And yes, these problems are very complex. That doesn't mean that the statistics is there to tell you, actually, we probably don't know.
Thanks, Simon.